Our first reading from the New Testament this morning is going to be read to us by Philip.
So the reading is from John 4, verses 7 to 21, and it's from the NIV. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he is in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Our second reading this morning is going to be read to us by Sandra.
So our second reading is John 3, verses 1 to 21, from the NIV. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Philip, again, for those readings from God's Word this morning. In my parents' dining room was a cupboard that had a couple of shelves at the bottom and two drawers at the top. And on one occasion, when I was young, finding myself at a loose end to pass the time and being inquisitive, I opened one of the drawers to see what I could find. And searching through the various bits and pieces of paperwork and other odds and ends that you find in drawers, I came across a small red book that belonged to my father. And before you jump to any conclusions this morning, no, it was not the thoughts of Chairman Mao, but rather a soft-covered book that had the intriguing title, Map Reading in a Nutshell. A book that was apparently written by an army major, a chap by the name of Bramley Moore, in 1943, and was apparently given to the British soldiers in readiness for the D-Day landings that took place in June of 1944. Not that my father, at least to my knowledge, took part in that event. Well, my being curious, I opened it up to see what it said. But whether it was that I was too young to understand it or not, I just don't know. But I didn't spend much time going through its pages and quickly replaced it in the drawer. But the title, Map Reading in a Nutshell, still intrigued me. And in particular, that bit, in a nutshell. Of course, as I became older and learned a little, I emphasize a little about English and English language, I came to understand what the phrase in a nutshell meant. And it meant to state or explain something very simply and in a few words, in as few words as possible, by just giving or making the main or necessary points. I think the technical term is an idiom for those of you who are in the know. But I also remember many years ago when I was studying theology through Spurgeon's Baptist College, my tutor, when marking one of my essays, wrote at the bottom of it these words, completed with your usual economy of words. Completed with your usual economy of words. Now, I don't think for 1 minute that what he meant was that I had answered the question simply and succinctly, as it were, in a nutshell, but rather that I could have written an awful lot more about that particular topic. You will, I'm sure, also be pleased to know that I try to keep my sermons short as well, with an economy of words. Well, I don't know about you, but even today, having studied and read the Bible from a relatively early age, I still find some passages very difficult to understand. Although as yet, I haven't given up and put it away in the drawer as I did with my Father's book. However, when preparing this address, that phrase, in a nutshell, came back to me and got me thinking about how I would, if asked, and especially if time was of the essence, go about explaining the Christian faith and what God has done for us, all, simply, succinctly, and in as few words as possible, to, as it were, present the gospel in a nutshell. Well, of course, there are numerous verses in the Bible and the New Testament, especially, that we could, I'm sure, call upon to explain the Christian faith. But for me, the one verse that really stands out and explains the gospel message clearly, simply, and succinctly is John 3:16, a verse that has often, quite rightly, to my mind, been quoted or referred to by many, many Christians as the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. A verse that I'm sure most of us here, if not all of us, could recite word for word without looking at our Bibles. Of course, the actual wording may differ slightly from what I just read, depending on what version of the Bible you used when you learnt it. But irrespective of that, the message is still clear and unambiguous. I learnt it from the authorised King James Version. It was the only version we really had at that in those days, and which, to my mind, is unsurpassed in its literary beauty, although more modern versions are easier to understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. A clear, succinct message, summing up and explaining in just a very few words God's great love for us, and how that through believing in his Son, Jesus, and what he accomplished on the cross, we not only receive forgiveness for our sins, but the gift of eternal life. Dr. William Barclay, I'm not sure if you're familiar with his daily Bible readings, in his commentary on this verse says this: all great men have had their favourite texts, but this has been called everybody's text. Herein, for every simple heart, is the very essence of the gospel. He then goes on to say that he tells us that the initiative in all salvation lies with God. It was God who sent his Son, and that he sent him because he loves us. It tells us that God's very nature is one of love, and that he loves everyone. His love is worldwide. It's all-embracing. He in turn then quotes Augustine, who said, God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. Now there's a thought to ponder on, isn't it? God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. Matthew Henry also commenting on John 3:16 and the two previous verses in the chapter, relating back to the time when Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, I'm sure you remember it, says, look and be saved. Look and live. Lift up the eyes of your faith to Christ crucified. In the portion that we read from John's first letter, John there reminds us once again, and in similar vein, of the truth of those words in the Gospel, in his Gospel. In verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4, he writes, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And in verse 11 goes on to say that since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Picking up again on those words that Jesus said to his disciples, and which John records for us in chapter 13 of his Gospel, and verse 34. Words that will also be very familiar to all of us here. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That passage from 1 John 4, being, as I said earlier, one of my favourites, as it not only tells us about God's love for us, but also how we in turn should love a life, live a life of love. However, returning to our text for this morning, and what is without doubt my favourite verse of Scripture in the whole of the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That verse not only tells us about God's love for us, but also the extent of his love for us. It tells us why Jesus came, and that through believing in him and what he did on the cross and through his resurrection, we can all have eternal life. It speaks to us of faith, a real trust in the person of Jesus and his sacrifice. It speaks to us of love, of life, and of hope. The Right Reverend Walsham, who was the Lord Bishop of Bedford, in his commentary on John 3:16, wrote, "These are not words to comment upon, but to feel. In this glorious verse, every word is a sermon." And then ironically, he went on to comment on them and say, "Mark or note the greatness of the Father's love. God so loved. Mark the breadth of that love. God so loved the world. Mark the pricelessness of the sacrifice, his only begotten Son. Mark the freedom of the offer of salvation, whosoever. Mark the condition of salvation, simple, believeth. Mark the perils of unbelief, perish. Mark the greatness of the salvation, everlasting life. Our whole faith as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is all there and encompassed in those few words, that one verse of Scripture, that is John 3:16. A verse that I believe Martin Luther, the Reformer, referred to as the Gospel in miniature. The Gospel in miniature. It's a great verse for us all to know by heart. It's a great verse to ponder upon and fully understand, and a great and glorious verse to share with anyone who may inquire about our faith. May that verse of Scripture be a source of blessing and encouragement to each and every one of us as we seek to follow Jesus in our lives and share with others the gospel, the good news concerning God's love for everyone. The gospel, in a nutshell: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.